I'm Clara Chow, and I'm a writer. I'm Singaporean. The official propaganda or whatever is the official Singapore narrative hardly ever factors in the Southern Islands. Mm-hmm. I mean, they tell us about Sentosa, and then that's about it. And everything else was sort of not talked about. And actually, Singapore has a lot of Southern Islands. And I started wondering, like, why do we not have this connection to our islands? And I think that if you don't kind of talk about the islands, then the islands themselves lend themselves to other users that you don't have to justify to the public. I mean, for a while, Pulau Tekong was where this... Wait, it is still, where...
Yeah,
where, you know, you train your NS men. Bukom is where you refine oil. You could use these islands to do things that you don't want to do on the mainland. Mm. And then you don't have to justify it to anybody because it's just out of everybody's radar. So I thought, okay, you know, if that is the case, then if you decide to have political prisoners and they want to go away, then the islands would be the not talked about space where they can go to. And they can kind of co-opt this. I mean, it works both ways, right? Like if the authorities can do this, then the rebels can mm-hmm. do that too.
They did detain a political prisoner on Sentosa
yeah.
for many, many years, right?
Yes,
so
correct.
That's also like a thing, even though Sentosa is used for tourism.
Yeah.
And then you find out, obviously, at the end, I hate to spoil this, but that has been all this reality TV show, which is really fascinating to me because this idea that, yes, you're saying this weird space of the islands, but it's also a space of surveillance, like in the end.
That was, again, like the husband came out with it, right? But I liked it because I thought this is this nihilistic view where you think that you can make a difference, you think you can break out of the cycle, but then actually, no lah, there's no such thing. So it's kind of like hopeless. You can say, oh, let's rage against the machine, but at the end of the day, the system is so much bigger than you are, and you kind of get sucked back into it. This is a really early story, and at that time, I was kind of feeling a little bit like that. Maybe because, you know, as a writer, I was still finding my way, and I thought, oh, it's so hard to do this full time because the Singapore environment doesn't really understand someone who wants to write fiction and be penniless, right? Over the years, I've kind of changed, and I think that I've revised my views. I don't think it's that hopeless after all. I think that if you do want to be an activist, you do want to campaign for something, you can make change. You can really make a difference. Mm-hmm. So that was just the worst case scenario. Lah.
And yet that story's last. So I was really interested in the placement as well, right? You
know, it was probably the first to be written. The rest of the book is chronological. So the shopping mall story is the first one. But if I kind of put The Wheel as the first one, even though it was written first, kind of like a reset note. So, move it to the back. Yeah.
To end on a sentence.
Yeah.
That is so funny. I want to talk a little bit more about two things, I guess, about that short story first. Maybe first about the role of Pulau Hantu. So, we talked a little bit about how they displace things to the island. Obviously, the name as well.
Mm.
I mean, what is it about the coastline or those particular islands that makes us think about spectrality, about ghosts, about haunting? Mm.
Yeah, when I was looking for a southern island to set the rest of the story in, it was a toss-up between Hantu and Semarang, mm-hmm. because Semarang had that whole prison riot thing, and that was a very real and bloody part of our history, which again, I think a lot of young people don't know. But then the name Hantu is always special to us because, wow, Ghost Island, right? Like, so haunted, right? So scary. And I like the idea that there were two Hantus. It was Pulau Hantu Besar, the big one, and then Pulau Hantu Kecil, the small one. And I thought, like, how interesting that at least I didn't know that there were two islands. We just thought that it was just one big island. So even the island itself resists your stereotyping of it. It splits into two, right? It's just like history splits into two, and you can have this version and that version. So you can have the Kecil version and the Besar version. So I thought, okay, really interesting, Pulau Hantu, in terms of symbolism. And then the fact that Hantu from Hantu, you can see Bukom, because it's really that near.
Mm.
So geographically, Hantu served its purpose, yeah, in terms of like how they can just move from point to point, yeah.
And I was thinking of that ending, right? That really bleak ending, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But then that ending is also really aware of the kind of ecology that almost like man-made ecology, and you're saying Bukom is so close.
Mm.
So what do you think of when you think of that space then? Like, you know, it's not just a natural space, not just an island that you go off, but there's something as well incredibly industrial about it. What were you trying to convey?
It started when, like, I used to have this friend in JC, and she was dating someone whose father worked for Shell, and then they would all live on Bukom, and then he would have to, like, they'll go on dates, and then he'll have to, like, rush for the last ferry to go back to Bukom. So their dates cannot go past, like, 10 o'clock or something like that. So I was always very fascinated, like, how can some people can live on Bukom, right? And then, like, over the years, I would read, or I would hear about people who work at Shell, or, like, I would have relatives who work there. And this idea of Bukom as kind of like a private, corporatized island, it belongs to Shell. But then, this didn't gel with me because it belongs to us Singaporeans, right? But then it's kind of been sold to Shell in a way. And if we are not authorized, we can't go to Bukom. There's no way ever that I can ever get on Bukom unless Shell invites me. So I thought, what if at some point this corporatization of Singapore ends? Because there are a lot of spaces in Singapore that are also like that, like the Google headquarters, right? It's just this quasi-public but actually corporate space. And it's a huge chunk. And I think, what if they all pull out at some point? And then what are you going to be left with? You're just going to be left with this corporate ruins. Yeah, I was thinking of that when I wrote about Bukom, and then how it ends with her going in that direction. So how can we reclaim that at some point, right? How can we reclaim those spaces?
Mm.